Yes, I'm thinking this morning, I want to talk about faith for just a moment, but I'm excited for what God is doing. I'm excited for the weeks ahead. I'm excited for all the things that God has been doing so far, and I'm blown away at just his faithfulness and all that he wants to do and all that he wants to do in our lives. And I was thinking this week about faith. I was thinking that faith, you could talk about lots of different things. There's so many different things that we could talk about faith. But sometimes when people mention faith, they're like, oh, don't talk about your faith. That's just going to bore me. Don't bring up faith. I don't want to know about it. And then you wonder the question, well, what is it that you believe in, or what is it that I believe in? But I think this morning it's important to remind ourselves just how wonderful this faith is that we have in Jesus. Just how spectacular it is. Just how amazing it is. I want us to remind ourselves this morning just how amazing it is to have faith in Jesus. The faith that I want to talk about this morning, it's a radical faith. It's a radical faith. Everywhere Jesus went, he was radical. The things that he did was absolutely radical. It was exhilarating. I think that's a nice word. It's exhilarating, this faith, because it does have highs and lows. Sometimes it is like a roller coaster, and one moment it's going really, really good, and the next it can be going really bad. It's exciting, and sometimes it's scary. No matter what you do in faith, no matter what you do in faith for God, no matter what you do in faith for Jesus, it's going to be times where it's going really good, and then it gets scary, and hopefully then it starts to pick up again. It's definitely going to be on the edge of your seat, and it will lead to true fulfillment. I was thinking this morning, just as I was putting some final touches in, I was thinking about Verms. Verms is our friend from the Philippines. He's been in YWAM for over 10 years. And here's a guy who lives by faith. What an idea, what a concept to live by faith. And Verms has virtually nothing. The dearest thing he has, which is like really dear, is this bag. He has this backpack where he travels everywhere around the world. It costs him like £200 or £300, which is like the most expensive bag I've ever seen in my life. But it means it's got a lifetime warranty. So whenever he has a problem with it, they've got like shops in every airport, nearly in every airport around the world. So he had a problem with it recently, the zip broke on it, and he just walked into the shop and they said, no problem, sir, here's a brand new one. So it's worth the price because he just gets replaced at any time, it's got a lifetime's warranty on it. But that's about the most expensive thing he has. That, with his iPad, was given to him, which is just an iPad 1, and we're maybe on iPad 5 or 6 now. And he's got a mobile phone that he lost one time, and then we generously put our money together and were able to buy it for him. So everything he has is either given to him or sponsored to him because he's living by faith. And there was one time we were in South Africa a few years back, and we said, Verms, we're going to buy you a sofa, because we went along to his apartment in South Africa, and he has no furniture in it whatsoever, bar a bed pretty much, and a few chairs and maybe a table. And we said, we'll buy you a sofa. And he says, no, it'll get in the way when people want to come and stay over. When all the different teams from around the world maybe need to use my home for a bed or my space for a sleepover, then I don't want a sofa to get in the way. He is an incredible guy. And he's an incredible guy to use as a great illustration for the faith that we're talking about this morning. Because when we live by faith, it seems like incredibly hard it is, because we're maybe leaving behind some of the more material things, but what we're gaining in return is absolutely amazing. We're gaining a life that walks with Jesus. We're gaining a life that's totally reliant on Jesus, and we're stretching our faith all the time. And I love the stories that he tells. Verms travels to maybe 30 or 40 airports every year, and many times he gets to the airport and he's got no money for the ticket whatsoever, but he's told everybody in the base, I have to go here, will you pray for me? He turns up in the airport, he has no idea how he's going to get a ticket, but he knows he needs to get over there, and he sits, and I don't know if it's 15 minutes or it's 15 hours, but every single time he gets the money for the ticket. I don't know how he does it. Sometimes he gets on for free, sometimes somebody just shows up, I don't know how it works. But he is a guy who is living by faith. I think faith this morning in Jesus will take us to places that we never, ever dreamed of. Never, ever dreamed of. And we could be sitting here this morning thinking, oh, I'm so jealous of everybody else on holidays this morning. I'm so jealous of everybody else, what they're out doing there. But I think if God touches our hearts this morning, it could change and impact us for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, impact the rest of our lives. Faith in Jesus will take us to places we've only ever dreamed of or only ever thought that was for somebody else. It will give us ideas that we've never ever thought of. You know, faith in Jesus will cause ideas to birth in our hearts that we've never ever had before. We'll do things that defy logic. And we're going to look at a story this morning that in this world we've got certain rules that we have to follow. There's gravity, there's, you know, if you go underwater, you have to hold your breath. But we're going to see how Jesus this morning defies all laws of this land almost, and he's under a higher authority of heaven. So we can do things that simply defy all logic. We bought this building in a month and a half, defied all logic. We shouldn't have got it for the price that we got it. We shouldn't have bought it in the time that we got it in. And we don't know where we got the money from, but it came from each one of our pockets. It just came from generous, wonderful giving. Only the Lord could have done that. If we'd have told anybody sane whatsoever out there that you're going to do this in such a short period of time, they would have laughed at us, and they'd probably still be laughing at us. But the good news is that we had the last laugh, because Jesus is so good. He is amazing this morning. It's amazing. He is amazing. Our faith. I want us to read just a story this morning. It's in Matthew 14:22. Going to read it. It's a very famous story about Jesus. He walks in the water, and then Peter's going to walk on water. And I want to remind us about this story, because I think it's just really, really amazing. It says in Matthew 14:22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. While he dismissed the crowd, after he had dismissed them, he went up onto the mountain top to pray to his heavenly Father. When evening came, he went there. He was there alone. But evening came, and he was still alone. But the boat was already in considerable distance, and the land was from land, and it was buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord Jesus, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" This is just a really famous set of verses. First off, Jesus walks in water, and if that's not good enough, then Peter walks in water. An amazing, exciting story of faith. There's going to be highs and lows on it. We're going to look at it in just a moment. But what I want you to remember just before we even get into it, and maybe we'll lose the point, Jesus walked in water, defied all logic, defied all gravity, defied all the laws that we have in this land, and then Peter did it as well. And I think the central message of this whole thing this morning is God wants to remind us that faith in him will cause us to do things that we've never ever thought of, never ever dreamt of, never ever thought it was even possible to do so. But if our eyes are fixed on him, we will do incredible things. And I think Jesus wanted Peter to get the same message he wants us to get today. If I can do it, you can do it, because I live in you. I think that's what Jesus was really saying from start to finish in those set of scriptures. He was like, look what I can do, you can do also. If you follow me, you can do likewise. If you will believe in me, if you will have faith in me, you can do as well. This is what happens when we put our trust and our faith in God, when we put our trust and faith in Jesus. We can go different places, we can go crazy places, we can do unbelievable things. I was thinking this morning as well about Jenna. Jenna must be out of crash, but this was just a crazy story as well, just about faith, just before we get right into some of these verses this morning. She said about 2 years ago, in November time, "We're going to go to Cork." And I'm like, "That's brilliant. We're going to go to Cork. That's amazing." She says, "We're going to go to Cork, and we're going to put on a weekend event. We're going to do Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and we're going to tell the people of Cork all about Jesus." I thought, this is just amazing. Let's go do it. Let's go for it. And so we're like, right, what's going to happen? She's like, "No, it's okay. I've prayed up. It's going to all work out." And then we said, "Well, where are we going to do it?" And she goes, "We're going to rent out the place that Apple usually use." And I'm like, okay, so that must mean it's very expensive. You know, maybe we'll find somewhere cheaper. And she's like, "No, this is the place. We're going to go for it." And I think it worked out that over the weekend it was going to cost us 4,000 or 5,000 euro. I think it was something like that. It's just something unbelievable. And I was thinking, I've got a lot of faith, but I'm not so sure. I'm like, let's go cheaper. But she was like, "No, this is the place we got to go to." So we all got packed up, and it was such an amazing weekend. But we got there on the Friday, and we're going to see the points of that, of her story, and we're going to see a lot of it relevant in the verses we're going to read ahead, the ones that we've just read. And we start off on the Friday, we go down, we had an amazing first night, and then Jenna's like, "I'm not sure if we've got enough money to do tomorrow night." You know, it's just like we step out in faith, we're going for God, and we could quite easily say, "God, this is not fair. Where's all the money? We've stepped out for you. We want to go for you." But she kept believing, and her belief actually challenged our belief to keep on believing as well. We got the money for the next night, And by halfway through, the guy who was the manager of the place said, "You're the craziest bunch we've ever had here." He says, "This place is a jail." It was Cork jail. He says, "We have seances in this place. We have Halloween festivals. We have the craziest, most spiritual things you ever believe. We have like hypnotists, all sorts of things, because the setting it lends itself to that. But you guys, you are the craziest I've ever seen." But he says, "One thing for sure, I've never felt something spiritual like that ever before. I've never felt the presence like that before. And we've had all sorts of guys in this place, but I've never felt something so real." You know, by the end of the weekend, we made it to the end of the weekend. God just kept giving us the money, and he kept giving us a better deal. And by the end of it, I don't know, we raised £3,000 or £4,000, and it just kept going. But we had an amazing time. But one of the best accounts was of that general manager of the place. And he just said, "If you come back next time," he goes, "I'm going to do it even cheaper again." And we were like, "Why don't you get saved?" And he was like, "I really want to, but there's things in the way. There's things in the way." And I just thought, what an amazing adventure, because Jenna had faith to believe for it when the rest of us maybe didn't. And I think that's an important footnote just to remember as we go into this story. Some people are going to have faith to believe for certain things, and they're going to encourage us to do them as well. Other people are not going to have the faith for whatever reason. We need to stir up the gift of faith that's within us, because not only will it push us forward, but it will help to bring other people forward. So let's get back to the story. Verse 28, it says this: "Lord," Peter has just seen Jesus walking in the water. He says, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." What an incredible statement, or what an incredible question, or what an incredible test to put before Jesus this morning. "Jesus, if that is really you out there in the water, you command me to come." Because the rest of the guys are afraid. They're not even sure if it's you. But I know if it's really you, you could cause me to walk on water. You could prove it by me walking on water. Because I know, Jesus, you can do absolutely anything. And I think that's always a great place to start from. I think that's always a great thing to know. If it's really Jesus, he can do absolutely anything. There's nothing out of his grasp. There's nothing that he cannot do. He can do all things. "Jesus, if that's really you, you can do anything. If that's really you, you can cause me to walk on water." I think the great thing about Peter in verse 28 is that he dared to believe. He dared to believe that this was Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, if this is really you, then almost prove it. Show me what to do. Show me how it's going to work out." And verse 29 is, Jesus doesn't need to sweat. He doesn't need to wonder. He doesn't need to get flustered. He doesn't need, "Oh my goodness, I can walk on water, but he'll not be able to." He just simply says, "Come." And I think this is such an amazing thing for us to know this morning. If we will say to the Lord, "Jesus, can you do it? Could you do this with me? Could you cause me to walk on water almost? Could you raise me the finances for this? Could you get me that job? Could you do this?" You know what Jesus says? Absolutely. Jesus says, "Come." Jesus says, "Yes. It's not too hard for me. It's not too difficult for me." And I think one of the most important challenges that we face is that a lot of the times in our faith, we're trying to work it out almost. "Lord, this could only work out," and then we're trying to process in our head how that could happen. A lot of the things that God's calling us to do, and a lot of the faith that we have, our faith is required to place it in somebody else, not ourselves. Our faith, our job with our faith, is to place it in Jesus, keep it in Jesus, and remind ourselves that we cannot comprehend how you could walk on water, and we cannot comprehend how you could miraculously get healed from something that should take you years in a few days. We cannot comprehend that. We don't even need to. We just need to know God is faithful. He can do anything. Just ask him and expect something wonderful to take place. Jesus turns around to Peter and he says simply, "Come. Come follow me." I think that's what the Lord is challenging us this morning with. Come follow me no matter where it is. Come follow me wherever it takes you. If you've got faith in me, if you're a true follower of me, you'll just say, "Lord, okay, I'll go." Jesus came to the disciples and he said, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." What a crazy statement. What does that even mean? "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Jesus turns up to these people. They've been working all their lives in the fisheries. They've been working all their lives catching fish. And this one day he turns up and he says, "Come follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men." What an incredible statement. But the guys said they dropped their nets and they followed after him. And now here's Peter and he's walking on water. The things that the Lord will do in our lives if we will follow him, even when it doesn't always make logical sense, maybe our family doesn't even think it makes sense, maybe even we don't think it makes sense, but if Jesus has called us and we know his calling and we know his will for our lives, then go in faith and watch what God's going to do. It doesn't have to be a faith in ourselves. All it needs to be is a faith in him. The number one thing Jesus wanted to show Peter: if you follow me, anything can happen. I think we need to remind ourselves of this again and again and again. I think it's so important that we'll maybe sit here in a building like this and remind ourselves how we got here. I hope in 20 years' time we'll remind ourselves how we got here. I hope in 5 years' time we'll remind ourselves of the things that God has done in our hearts and the things that He's done in our lives. Because our biggest tendency is to forget. Our biggest tendency is to like, almost to start to doubt again. Almost to get worried. Almost to think, I don't think He could do that. We always must remember that God is God. And He's out of this world. And He's not confined by anything in this world. In fact, He made this world. And if He wants to change it, if He wants to break it, if He wants to change things around, He can absolutely do it. And I think this morning what we need, a lot of the times, if not all the times, is just to be reprogrammed and reminded that He can do anything. Absolutely anything. Absolutely. Verse 29, Jesus said, come. Peter went for it. You know, it's so important to realize that Peter tested the Lord. He almost said, Lord, could I do this? God says, absolutely, you can do this. But the next step was so important because Peter actually went for it. He didn't allow the circumstances to stop him. Instead, he says, okay, I'll go. And he just automatically went. He just went almost as quick as Jesus said, come. And I think that's something very important to know as well. We're going to be challenged. The Lord's going to call us. But sometimes the more that we hang around, the more that we dwell on it, the more we'll talk ourselves out of it. You know, and that's a big deal, and that's something that can happen again and again. You know, we knew that God was calling us to do something like this, but I think it took us years to get the courage and to get the faith to do it. I'm just so glad that God stuck with us and that we stuck with God and He kept reminding us and He kept prompting us. I mean, God must have really wanted it done. Because it wasn't for us, for our glory, it was definitely for His. Because He kept saying this over and over again through different people, through prophecy, through Bible verses, through people saying this, through people saying that. He just kept at us again and again and again. And I think the Lord is saying the same thing for you this morning, the same thing for all of us this morning. He said, I want to keep at you. I want to keep going with you. I want to keep reminding you of how good I am and how many things I've got in store for you. And I don't want you to be consumed with fear. Because this is what can happen. You know, Peter did go for God, and almost immediately he got consumed with fear. And I think it's important this morning that we recognize that fear will be in the picture when we step out in faith. Because fear and faith just seem to go hand in hand together. They just seem to always be around. Fear is always trying to steal our faith, and faith is always trying to defeat fear. And thankfully, it does. But Peter, he stands up for God, and he stands out for God, and he starts to move for God. And then he starts to see the things that are round about him. It says, verse 30, but fear came upon him. It says, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out. You know, he walked on water, and it's so important we know this. I don't want to discredit that this morning, but then fear came along. And we're going to see in a few moments how the Lord used this to teach Peter for again. And I think it's important to remember this morning, it's important that we know that when we step out for God, there will be challenges, there will be fears, there will be things in the way that's trying to dismay us, that are trying to pull us down, that are trying to remove our faith. But our faith in Jesus is always greater. Just activate it, just stand on it, just believe in it. I truly believe this. If Peter had kept his eyes fixed on Jesus, he would have continued on walking. Absolutely believe that. And I think that's one of the most important things to remind ourselves of this morning in this story. Peter did walk in water. He did sink because of fear. But if he had kept his eyes more fixed on Jesus, I believe he could have went further. And I believe later on in his life, he did go further. I believe later on in his life, because of the tests and the challenges that he faced in this story, in this life event, it caused the Lord to increase him in the events that would unfold in the future, which we're going to look at in a moment. Jesus spoke to Peter and he went for it. The results were he walked on water. But once he started to take his eyes off the Lord, once he started to see all the different elements, once he started to see all the different things that were around him, fear consumed him. And I think this morning, I wrote it down, fear is always close by. We can't avoid it. It's always trying to stop us. It's always trying to defeat us, but we can defeat it because our faith in Jesus is greater. It is greater. It is absolutely greater. We can overcome it. I've been watching this thing. I'm talking about Bear Grylls all the time, but there's this the thing that's on in the middle of the week. I record it and then watch it when I get the chance. But it's been brilliant because what he's doing at the moment is he's taking these guys that are full of fear in certain areas and he's helping them face their fears. And the one that just blew my mind the other week, I was telling Nikki about it the other day, and I thought I'm gonna tell you, if you haven't seen it, then this may be spoiler, but it's worth watching it. If you've never seen it, then it's worth hearing it. But he took these two guys out this week, and they go right out to somewhere, I don't know, Mexico or somewhere like that, into the middle of the jungles, wherever it was, South America for sure, into the middle of the jungles, and he ends up in this place, one of these sinkholes, and there's loads of undergrowth, there's loads of trees, loads of absolutely everything. And the two things that these guys are afraid of is one's afraid of spiders, and the other's afraid of rats. They're like the two things that they're afraid of. Like, who wouldn't be afraid of those things? But Bear decides, in all his wisdom, is that we're going to take them to, like, possibly the worst place in the whole planet, which has the biggest rats in the world and has the biggest spiders in the world. And through that, we're going to see these guys overcome their fear. And you're just like, this is bonkers. And I'd seen the ones previous, and the ones previous were, you know, not too bad. They were like a fear of heights or fear of water, fear of this, or fear of that, and he would overcome it. But this one, I was like, this is scary, because these things are going to run all over you. They could bite you. They could, you know, they're going to squeak at you. I mean, this is scary stuff. But Bear knows what he's at, because he's an awesome guy. So he takes these guys out, and even he says it himself. He's like, I think I've went too far now, because he comes up with these different challenges. So the first night, this is it. The guy's afraid of rats. He cannot handle them. Most people are afraid of the rats, but this guy's desperately afraid of them. I can't remember what the reason was, but he's really, really afraid of them. So Bear sets up camp in a rat's nest almost. It's just like they're just living in the ground like rabbits. They're just everywhere, just absolutely everywhere. And Bear's like, oh, it'll be fine. We'll just create a hammock for you, and you'll sit in it, and you'll swing all night, and they'll just squeak, but don't worry. It'll be fine. So I just couldn't even believe the guy got through the first night. He actually made it. I thought he would run home, but maybe that's why they abseiled into a sinkhole, because there was no way out other than climbing out, and he probably couldn't do it on his own anyway. So he's sitting there in this hammock, and the rats are all around about. He's got worse fear now than ever. I mean, it's just worse than ever. And so then Bear just decides, oh, I'll be fine. He'll be fine the next day. And he just keeps on going. And the other guy's afraid of spiders. And eventually they come to this point, and I just thought, this is never, ever going to work. But this is what he did. They end up going, and they have these rats. I don't know what size it, but they're big. They're like dog-type things. They're just massive. And Bear sees this hole of where they live, and you thought it was like a hole to a fox den or something, or a rabbit's. No, it's not. It's for where these rats live, because they're so huge. Bear's like, I don't see one. And next thing, he's got his head stuck down the hole looking for one. It's like, this guy is the craziest guy in the whole world. So there he has his head stuck down this hole with his arms, and he's trying to feel one to pull it out for this guy, because he's afraid of rats. Obviously, Bear is not afraid of rats whatsoever. And he couldn't find one. But later on in the day, he finds one. It was like, it was huge. It was some kind of, I don't know, it was some, it wasn't like the rats that we think of. It was just one of these just big, big things. So he catches it by the back of the neck, and he holds it in front of the guy, and he goes, what do you think? What do you think? He goes, keep it away from me. I can't handle this. But Bear's like, come on, you can overcome your fear. You can overcome your fear. But, you know, the whole point of the whole show is that he truly believes that there is a greater strength inside of you. Obviously, Bear is a Christian. But he believes that there is a greater strength inside of people than they would fully realize. And that fear is out to conquer us. And fear is out to overthrow us. And fear is out to just bring us down. And these guys come in this show, and they're absolutely beat by this fear. Like, the guy is afraid of spiders. It would just cripple him. He just couldn't cope with it for whatever had happened in his previous life. Just in his past life. And the same with the guy with the rats. It's just whatever had taken place, it's like, I mean, it was just spoiling his family, it was spoiling his life, it was spoiled wherever he could go. It was just extreme levels of fear. But what Bear was saying was, I believe if I can take these guys to show them the very worst of their fears in a controlled environment, and I'm not afraid, then maybe we could break it if they're up for it. And I think this is what the Lord is saying to us this morning. And so he brings this rat before the guy, and he just couldn't touch it. He just couldn't do it. But something was already starting to change inside of him. Because you could see it. He was like, I really want to do it, but this is just too much. It's just too much. But the fact that Bear was there and he was showing the way and like, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, by the end of it, this guy, he created this like pit thing and like run thing. And there was hundreds of rats in it. And him and Bear crawls through this whole pit and the rats are running all over him. And by the end of it, halfway through, by the end of the tunnel, he's just flicking the rats like as if they were just, I don't know, cats or something. He just wasn't bothered about them whatsoever. And I just thought, that's the strength that's inside of each and every one of us. And that's the strength that God's placed inside of us. And here's a guy who doesn't even have a faith in Jesus, but he has a strength inside of him that can conquer fear on that level. And I just think this morning, it is so important that we remind ourselves of the strength that we have inside of us that God has placed there before we're ever born. But now it's been activated greater than ever before because Jesus lives inside of our hearts. And so therefore, no matter what fear we would face, no matter how big it is, and we think that that rat fear was big because of this massive rat, but I mean, we have faced fears in our lives that are just so much more huge than that and so much bigger than that, so much more real than that. And yet Jesus is saying this morning with confidence, I am greater than all of those things. I am greater than your worst fear. Because even if your worst fear is death, I conquered death. I'm in control of death. Death has no more sting because I beat it. And I think this morning, if we could face our fears, this is what these guys wanted to do, and this is what Bear was saying to these guys. If you will face your fears instead of running away from your fears, no longer will your fears chase you, but you will push your fears down in faith. You will beat your fears. And I think this morning the Lord is wanting to challenge us in a message of faith to face up to our fears and just say, fear, you do not have a legitimate hold on my life any longer. You do not have a legitimate power over my life because Jesus is greater. And the faith that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ is much bigger than any fear that consumes or would try to consume my life. Finish off the story with the spider. The guy with the spider, I could not believe what he did with this guy. He is absolutely freaked out by spiders. I mean, it wouldn't matter if it was the tiniest spider in the world. He's going to run to Africa or something. He is afraid of spiders, full stop. Bear says, oh, in here is going to be a great spot to conquer that fear. They go in, and here's this tree, and there's like these redback tarantulas live there or something. They look amazing, but they're huge. I mean, they're nearly as big as the rats. They're so big. Bear says, we played this game in the army when I used to be in the army. We'd take off our tops, lie on the ground, and it was the guy who could have the most spiders on him would win the challenge. So he's like, I want you to do that. The guy's like, no way am I ever going to do that. Bear's like, don't worry, I'll show you how it's done. He whips his top off and he's lying there and these massive tarantulas are just walking all over him. They're in around his nose, they're in around his eyes, they're in around his belly button. They're huge. And if these things bite you, you're pretty much dead. But Bear's just like, these things are not bigger than me. These things cannot beat me. I am so much greater than these guys. They're not going to overthrow me. I am stronger than this fear. And he just has a strength and a control that just puts the guy at ease. Next thing you know, I thought this said the guy's going to crack up. Next thing, the guy's got his top off and he's laying on the ground. And Bear's flicking. He's got this cool knife thing. And he's flicking these tarantulas onto his belly. You know, and he goes, let's go for 9. I was thinking 1 would be enough. But he's like, let's go for 9. And he places 9 of these massive tarantulas on this guy's chest and belly. And of course, it goes for his nose. And it's got his wee foot up his nose type of thing. And the guy's just sitting there. And you could just see something had taken place in this guy's mind that had suddenly changed him. Now suddenly he had went from a guy who was afraid of the tiniest spider to now you could just see it in his face and you could just see it in his mind. I've got the biggest, most dangerous spiders running all over me and I'm not freaking out. I'm conquering this thing. I'm beating this thing. He did beat it. He went home and showed him months later and it wasn't affecting his life whatsoever. He thought, if I could beat them, I'll beat anything. And I think this morning the Lord is challenging us to say, hey, if we will face up to our fears, there is nothing that I cannot beat. There is nothing that I haven't beaten. And you can surely overcome it because I am for you and not against you. I am with you. Fear, if not beaten, will rob you of every victory. I think this is so important. If fear is not beaten, if we don't face it head on, it will rob you of every victory. I remember when I was younger, I was so full of nerves. I was just so full of fears for whatever reasons. I don't know why. I think I've shared it before, but I remember wanting to, you know, share, talk about God and just do what I'm kind of doing now, but feeling like I could never do that. I'm just too scared. I'm too afraid. And I don't think I ever really had as big a phobia as that, but it was enough to say, I'm not going to do it. And if anybody asks me to do it, I'll just leave it alone, just not happy with it. So it was something that definitely controlled me. It definitely held me back from doing it. And then I remember just one day thinking to myself, I just thought about stories like this, and I thought, Jesus is far greater than my fear. I am not going to allow fear to rob me of the things that God wants me to do in my life for him any longer. And it was almost in that instant, in that moment, just by stirring the faith that God had given me, by using the gift of faith that God had placed inside of me, that something just changed forever. And I want us to know that this morning, that it's like in that moment, something can just happen. Something can just break that changes the situation forever that we thought could, that we've been struggling with for a lifetime. Something in that place, when we face up to it with the strength that God has given us, something can just take place. And no longer are we held bad. No longer are we being robbed bad. But instead we're like, okay, the nerves will always be there. Okay, the fears will always be there. But they are not going to dictate my life any longer. I'm going to go forth in the power of Jesus. Verse 30, there was a big but that caused Peter to sink. But I think there's another just amazing part to the end of this verse. It says that Peter cried out, "Lord, save me." I think it's really important to know this. Peter cries out and he says, "Lord, save me." Why is this important? Because it would have been so easy for Peter just to turn around and try to swim back to the boat. To cry out to his friends, "Throw me a life raft, throw me a life jacket, throw me one of those life rings. Just do something, get me out of here." His first response was to cry out to Jesus. And I think that is one thing that we need to know more and more and more. That's the best response to have. Even when we are sinking, even when we are full of fear, cry out to Jesus because he can conquer it. He can beat it. So often we try to do it in our own strength. So often we try to, you know, we're sinking, "Oh, I'll cry to this one, I'll cry to that one, I'll get through it, I'll make it, it'll be okay." Cry out to Jesus. There's nothing prideful in it. There's nothing to worry about in it. Cry out to Jesus. He knows what we're facing. He knows what we're going through. Sometimes you can't save yourself, and the only person that can save you is Jesus. I think that's so important to know. You cannot save yourself in every situation. We have got great strengths. We have got great abilities. But in this position, Peter could not save himself. It was only Jesus. Don't lose your faith in Jesus as things work out, as you follow him, as things don't work out. I think I put this down. I thought, don't lose your faith as things don't work out as you would follow Jesus. Here's Peter. He's following after Jesus, and things start to go wrong. But he recognizes, cry to Jesus. He doesn't start to walk away from God. He doesn't start to complain at God. He doesn't start to wonder, why did this happen? Why did this go wrong? I think it's so important that we recognize this in our hearts, in our lives. I think it's so important that we turn around and we say to ourselves, sometimes things don't work out, but I'm still following after Jesus. Sometimes we make mistakes. Peter made a mistake. He took his eyes off Jesus, but he kept crying out to the Lord. Sometimes they don't work out the way that we intended, but he kept on going for God. Don't, in the heat of the moment, turn around and say, "God, why did you do this on me? Why did you let me down here? Why did you do that? Why did you do this?" God is for us and not against us. God is faithful. He'll never fail us. We need to keep reminding ourselves of those things. But we can mess up. But we can make mistakes. But we can take our eyes off the Lord. But we can get sidetracked. How many times have we been going for God, doing great things for God, been really sold out for him, and then after a month or two we realize, man, I don't think my heart's just as hot for Jesus as it was a week or two before. I don't think that I'm really going as strong as for him as it was a week or two previous. And so when things come along and sinking starts to take place in our hearts and lives, maybe the wrong thing is just the wrong thing is to blame Jesus. Instead, we should be looking at our own lives and saying, "Wow, I probably took my eye off the ball. I probably missed a thing here. I probably got sidetracked there. I'm coming back to Jesus. I know that he's the one that's going to cause me to walk on water. I know he's the one I need to respond to." Verse 31 is we're coming to near a finish. It says, immediately Jesus reached out. Verse 31, immediately Jesus reached out. You know what I love about this verse? It's like Jesus is ready. He's anticipating. He's already ready to go for it. It's not like, oh, what I do next? Jesus was ready. He's always immediately ready to save us. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior that we have. Wherever we fall, he's always immediately ready to pick us up. When we go our own ways, he's always immediately ready to get us. It's the prodigal son's a perfect example. The dad was watching for days and days and days, maybe weeks, maybe even years, looking out for his son. He was immediately ready the moment that his son would turn to come back home. The Lord sent the same to us this morning. You'll step out for me, fear and challenges will come along. Sometimes you will fail. But when you do, if you cry out to me, if you'll turn back to me, I'm immediately ready to grab you. I'm immediately ready to save you. I'm immediately ready to lift you up and to bring you up and to carry you. And to bring you back into my arms, to love you, to reveal things to you, to encourage you, to build you up. He was immediately ready. He responded immediately to Peter's cries. I think that is something that we need to know this morning. That as we would step out for God, as we would go for him, he's immediately ready to respond to us. His hand was ready. He was ready to lift Peter out. Jesus turns around to him and says, "Peter, What happened there was you had little faith. Peter, what happened there was that you had little faith. Jesus didn't turn around and talk about the fear. He knew that the fear was there. He knows that the fear is always going to be there in our lives. There's going to be nerves. There's going to be anxieties. There's going to be worries. But he would far rather talk about a good thing like faith and increasing that rather than worrying about trying to put fear down. We're never going to put fear down. The best way to do it is to increase our faith, and our faith will push it down. Our faith will remove it. The Lord turns around to Peter and says, you know what? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? If you had kept strong in me, if you had kept following me, if your faith had stayed strong in me, you could have kept going. You could have absolutely kept going. Peter did the right thing. I think it's, we need to see this morning. Peter did the right thing. He only messed up because fear got in the way. He only messed up, and yet, as soon as he responded back to God in faith again, the Lord lifted him up. You know what Peter did do, though? He walked on water. He absolutely walked in water. He learned things for the journey ahead. He tested his faith. He proved his faith. He came back to God. He had highs and lows, but he finished strong in Jesus' arm. More faith, and you'll walk further the next time. I think that's what the Lord's saying to us this morning. I think as we will go for him, and sometimes we'll fail, and sometimes we'll get down, the Lord's saying, don't worry. Keep on going. Next time you'll go further. If you will surrender your life to me, if you will continue to increase your faith in me, if you'll continue to read, if you'll continue to pray, if you'll stay close to me, next time you'll walk further. Next time you'll walk further. Matthew 16:18, it talks about a few chapters later, how Jesus turns around to Peter and he says, Peter, you're the rock that I'm going to build my church on. There's Peter that sunk a few weeks before. There's Peter that sunk a few days before, a few verses back. But Peter, you're the guy I'm going to build my church on. Because you went down, but you got up again. You were a guy who walked on water. You went somewhere. And then you got sidetracked because of fear. But I know that you're growing all the time. I know that you're going places. I know that your faith is increasing. I know that you're looking to keep your eyes more and more fixed on me. And I believe this morning the Lord is saying to us, keep your eyes more and more fixed on me, and I'll entrust you for bigger and bigger and bigger things. Fear will decrease us, but faith will increase us. Will decrease us, but faith will increase us. Our response to fear is, I'm going to meet it with faith. Our response to the Lord is this morning, we're going to follow you in faith, Jesus. My faith this morning is going to cause me to go further for God. My faith in Jesus this morning is going to cause me to do more for him. I want us to pray for just a moment today. Just as we've got our eyes closed, let's just take a moment with the Lord this morning. Because I believe faith is such a simple truth, but it can absolutely change and affect our hearts and lives this morning. And I want us to think about fear for just a moment. Lord, I pray that, Lord, whatever our biggest fear is in our heart right now, Lord, that, Lord, that we would recognize that you're greater than every fear. That, Lord, you know the fear that we struggle with, but you already have a plan to overcome it. Lord, I really believe, Lord, that we would stir up the gift of faith that you've placed inside of us. And by faith, Lord, we would become those more than overcomers that you've told us that we will be. Lord, that we're more than overcomers. Lord, you've defeated the greatest fear, which is death. So, Lord, I just really pray this morning that we would recognize that our faith in you allows us to overcome every fear that would come to pull us down. Lord, this morning, will you remind us, Lord, of your faithfulness and your greatness? Lord, will you remind our fear this morning that you're bigger than it? Lord, will you help us to conquer that fear this morning through faith in Jesus? Lord, I pray this morning, will you remind us that sometimes, if not every time, the best way to conquer fear is to meet it head on and to go straight for it? Lord, will you remind us this morning that if we go for you, that you will not fail us? Lord, will you remind us this morning as we would step out in faith for Jesus, that we will have highs and lows, that there will be fear along the way, but that Jesus, you'll always be with us? Lord, will you remind us this morning when our fear is trying to tell us that you'll never do this and you'll never do that and you failed there before, that, Lord, that we'll look at the life of Peter as just one good example out of millions that we could look at through history of a person who had highs and lows with Jesus. But the Lord turns around him and says, there's Peter. He's my rock. I'm going to build my church on him. What a position to be given. What a place to be given in the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray this morning as we would pray and we would come before you with our simple worries, and sometimes they're big and sometimes they're huge, but Lord, that we would place them in your hands this morning and you would exchange them for faith, Lord. Lord, let a wonderful exchange take place, Lord, where our fear would go in some of those crippling areas and it would be replaced with wonderful faith in Jesus' name. Lord, we just believe for that this morning. We ask you for that this morning. Those crippling fears, Lord, those fears that would disable us, that faith this morning would be exchanged with it, that would suddenly enable us in those areas and to go further and to go deeper for you.